today. Come on. He didn't make a way for you. Has he opened the doors for you? Has he got your back? Come on. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. God moving here, touching each one here tonight. Hallelujah. Can we just love him again? Come on. Hallelujah. 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 I praise you. I worship you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Ready to receive the word of Esper Nathan to come and speak to us tonight. Amen. Preach, speak to us what God has laid upon his heart. Amen, brother.
Praise the Lord, church. It's an honor to speak on Father's Day. Even though Nick said he has the best dad, I think I have the best dad. I start off before the scripture. I want to start off with today's title. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, whether you are or aren't, tell him, you the man. I kind of wish sometimes they put it back there so we don't have to get surprised halfway through. if you could pull out your Bibles on your phone or on your, or if you got those old-fashioned paper ones, if you want to put your audio Bible, as Sister Roberts is talking about this morning, in your ear, turn to Psalms 127, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And turn to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14. I know I'm turning it into a sword drill. It says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word that you've given us. We ask you, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight, that we want to leave here changed to be more like you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Before I get started and you say, well, it's Father's Day, I can tune out because I'm a woman, right? That scripture didn't say you had to be a man. It just said you need to act like one when it comes to being strong and manly and all those things that, oh, let's let the guys do that. No, I just said you just got to act like a man. Being a man today can be tough. It can be tough to be a man in general. You want to be a good man. It can be tough to be a good man. There's a whole lot of opportunities to be a not so good man. There's a whole lot of opportunities to be a downright scoundrel. Being a man can be tough. And today, unfortunately, we live in a world where, on one hand, it attacks masculinity and labels it toxic and teaches our children that being a man is nothing to be proud of. And on the other hand, we have another extreme that equates being a man with being emotionless and proud, and in some cases even violent. Culture's attacking our men and attacking our fathers and attacking our spiritual leaders, both male and female, and it's doing it on purpose. The enemy knows that if he can get the family, the church will crumble. If you're a leader today in your home, whether you're a father or a single mother or you're an independent teenager, understand that if you're the spiritual leader of your home, you're a target for the enemy. You don't have to be pastor. You don't even have to be teaching Bible studies. You just being the spiritual leader in your home, the enemy says, if I want to take down this home, who do I have to go after? If your name comes up on that list, you're the target. And it doesn't mean if you're not the spiritual leader that you're not under attack. It just means that if you are the spiritual leader, you're going to get the brunt of it. And you need to be prepared. This scripture said you need to be watchful. I'm getting some major feedback up here, bro. Anyway, it says you need to be watchful. You need, not just dealing with attacks when they come, but you need to be on the lookout and saying, what can come against my home? What can come against my family? What can come against my loved ones, my friends? Whoever's in this home, what can come against them? I need to be on the lookout and say, how can I stop an attack of the enemy from taking out someone that I care about? It's never been more critical that we have strong leaders in our homes, in our churches, that are watchful for attacks from the enemy and standing firm in the faith and acting like men, and will be strong for those that aren't strong. Now more than ever, we need husbands that love our wives and lead by example in the home. We need fathers that love their children and love to teach them the word, love them enough to correct them when they do wrong, and love them enough to make time for them. I saw something awesome that said, love is spelled T-I-M-E. You want to show your children that you love them? Give them time. You want to show your wife or your husband that you love them? Give your time to them. There are far too few men today that are taking the time to raise up a child in the way that they should go. Far too few men today are being watchful and standing firm in the faith. Far too few men today are acting like men and being strong for their families and for their children. Far too few men, even good men, even know how to take the time to be a father and a leader that they were called to be for their families. Do you know that you can do amazing things for God? You can be a prayer warrior. You can be a Bible study teacher. You can be a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, and you could still struggle to be a good dad. Being a dad's a lot of work. And to be a good dad, you must be intentional about raising your children. You cannot be a drive-by dad. You can work hard at being a great provider, but it still doesn't make you a good dad. You can study and pray to be a great musician and singer and worship leader, but that won't make you a great dad either. You can work hard to be a church planter, a preacher, a missionary, and you can still struggle and even fail to be a great dad. Like Sister Roberts alluded to this morning, you can only be a great dad by intentionally working hard, praying hard, and making time to be a good dad. The Bible even shows us an example of someone that God described as a man after my own heart that still struggled at being a dad. The Bible tells us that David was a great warrior. As a king, the word describes him, uses words like just and righteous to describe him. David knew how to pray. David knew how to praise. David knew how to repent, but David still struggled as a father. How did he struggle? Well, 2 Samuel 13 tells us that David was so preoccupied with his job as king that he struggled to make time to be with his son Amnon. This lack of time led to his son, caused him to miss some time with his son and miss some major red flags that culminated in Amnon raping his sister Tamar. David failed to punish Amnon like he should have for his crime. And that led to Absalom beginning to hate his brother. And David missed that sign as well. And Absalom murdered his brother to get justice for his sister's rape. And therefore, David also failed to bring peace between the two of them that could have stopped this. David did go ahead and punish Absalom. And then he also struggled after that by refusing to forgive Absalom. This strife between David and Absalom led to Absalom actually making a run at the kingdom. And he started a rebellion. And he started to turn the people away from David. And he began to actually hunt down and try to kill his own father. And while Absalom's army is trying to hunt down and kill David, Absalom is raping his concubines on the rooftop of the city. David's struggle as a father to impart his faith into his children led to Absalom rebelling, led to Amnon dying, and ultimately led to Absalom dying in the rebellion, and it broke David's heart. Unfortunately for David, his struggles as a father didn't even end with his death. After he died, his son Adonijah was executed by his son Solomon for another attempted rebellion. But it looks like near the end, David may have finally gotten a handle on his issues being a father. And he tried to change. We see in 1 Kings 2, verses 1 through 3, it said, as David's time to die drew near, he charged his son Solomon, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. I believe there was a man that entered David's life that kind of helped him get back on the right path and helped him see what it meant to be a good father. And even during a low point in David's life where he was struggling with even his passion and his desire to be in the presence of God, there was a man that stepped in his life that was an example to him. This man was Obed-Edom. David, there was a time when he wanted to go and take the Ark of the Lord and bring it back into Jerusalem. He said, I want the presence of God in my city. And David always had a heart and a passion that he wanted the presence of God. He'd sing about the presence of God. He'd talk about the presence of God. He'd fight to keep the presence of God. And he said, I want to bring that ark into my city. And so he goes and he gets the people together and says, guys, let's go get this ark. And he goes, takes them down there. They make up this special cart and they put the ark on it and they start to walk back. And they forgot, God said, if you want to move my ark around, you put the poles in it, you pick it up, you don't touch the thing, and you carry it like I told you to. And David forgot that or neglected that and said, we can do it faster and better. And so they get it, and they start walking, and they hit a bump, and the ark starts to fall off, and a man named Uzzah reaches out to try to stop it, and he touches the ark, and God strikes him down dead, and everybody steps back. And everybody's kind of freaked out and said, I don't want to go anywhere near that thing. And even David, he looked at it and he's frustrated at God. Why did you do this? He said, how am I supposed to get the ark back now? As if God hadn't already given him instructions. He's just mad. He don't care. He's mad that my plan failed. I tried to do this. I was trying to do a good thing. Whether or not I was doing it God's way, I was trying to do something good. He should have honored that. And he began to get upset. And then his passion began to dwindle. And so he said, you know, where can we ditch this thing? And not too far away was the house of Obed-Edom. And they said, hey, will you take this thing? Nobody else wants it. And Obed-Edom said, absolutely. Yes, please bring that into my house. As they bring the ark in, they leave it in his house, and they get as far and fast away as they can. And while that ark's sitting there in Obed-Edom's house, God begins to bless him. And his business begins to take off, and he begins to be very successful, and his family's doing great. And Obed-Edom's house is just, it is the cat's meow. And people start to notice this, and they said, David, remember a couple months ago we dropped that ark off at Obed-Edom's house? You should see how that man's doing. Look at that. You should see the addition he's got. That new donkey, man, he is doing good. You should get that. Go back and get it again. So David rings him up and gives him a call and said, Obed, I'm going to come get that ark from you. He's like, man, I knew he was going to figure it out eventually. And so Obed-Edom said, oh, you're the king. You can do what you want. But hey, when you come to get it, don't forget the proper way to carry it. And so David, he goes and they get the ark and they begin to walk, get it, and they're walking it back. And David said, I am going to go above and beyond. I'm going to do everything I can to make God happy. And so he said, not only are we going to carry it, but you just get every cow in this city and follow me. And every seven steps we take, we're going to stop and we're going to sacrifice. And David's passion is renewed. And he begins to sacrifice all the way. He gets home and he is dancing around. He is worshiping like nobody's watching. Like Alejandro over here when he's cleaning, right? He just like, I got the whole place to myself. I'm going to dance and worship however I want to. And David's just going to town. He's having a good time. And then Michal, there's always somebody's got to try to rain on your worship, right? And his wife's up there and she begins to mock him and she begins to scorn him when he comes inside. But David said, hey, I'm not letting it happen in my house anymore. I know I slipped up for a while. I know I made some mistakes. I wasn't being the leader of my home that I should have been, and I allowed this attitude to foster. We're shutting that down. And he said, hey, woman, you are not going to talk to me like that, right? That would get you a slap in the face nowadays, but back then that was okay. He said, I'm going to worship God however I want, and I will look like a complete fool if that's how I'm worshiping. I don't care. I don't care if my hair gets messed up. I don't care if my shoes get untied. I don't care if my tie starts falling off. I don't care if I'm sweating all the way through my shirt. I don't care. I'm going to worship God how I want to. And nothing you do is going to stop me. But all that started All that started when there was a man that said, you know what? Even when my leadership is struggling, even when my leadership's lost a passion, no matter what happens, I don't need somebody else's coattails. If there's a presence of God to be had, I'll keep it here. I'll keep it here until they want it again. I'll guard the presence of God. I heard something a couple days ago talking about, they were talking about a preacher, and a guy was talking about his dad, and he said, you know, my dad wasn't a preacher, but you know what he always was? He was a preacher's best friend. And the scripture says if you will accept a preacher, if you will help a preacher, you can get a preacher's reward. Obed-Edom was not a preacher. He wasn't the pastor. He wasn't the leader. But he was a man who said, you know what? I see he's going through something right now. Even if you're not your parent, you're the parent of the home, even if you're not the spiritual leader of your home, you can still make an impact in your home. You may not be dad. You may not have a dad in your home. But what you can do is you say, I can step up to do everything I can to guard the presence of God in my house. I can be a friend to dad. I can be a friend to my mom. Whoever's a spiritual leader in my home, I can be a friend to them. And because Obed-Edom said, I'll take the presence of God, bring it in here, he kept it for David. David wasn't in a state where he was going to guard the presence of God. He wasn't in a state at that time, the first time he went through. He wasn't in a position, in a frame of mind to say, I'm going to sacrifice every seven steps. I'm going to carry it. I don't care how heavy it is. I'm going to carry it all the way to Jerusalem. That's not where David was at the moment. But Obed-Edom said, I know this man. He will be there soon. He may not be where he needs to be right now. You may not have the perfect dad. But if you pray for him, if you seek God for him, if you'll fast for him, you can have the perfect dad. Obed-Edom didn't have the perfect king at the moment, but he said, I can worship for him. I can praise for him. I can show him the presence of God is what you need in your life. I can let God's blessings flow through me to him. Obed-Edom, though, not only did he help David, but he helped his family. Because when David came to take the ark, guess what Obed-Edom did? He sold his business. He sold his new donkey. He sold everything. He said, I'm going with the ark. David, you thought you were taking it home. I'm going with it. Because you know what? That's not my home. My home's the presence of God. If the presence of God is leaving, guess where I'm going? And so he packed his family up. He said, you know what, guys? We're following that ark wherever it goes. And the scripture says, if you accept a preacher, you can have a preacher's reward. Guess what he did? The scripture tells us that he began to be a gatekeeper. He said, you know what? I'm getting right next to this thing. The door, yes, it's right in there. You want to see the presence of God? Welcome. He said, I'm going to be a greeter. And you know what the scripture tells us? He was a gatekeeper. You know what his kids were? They weren't preachers when this whole thing started either, but guess what they started doing? They were the storekeepers. They were right in next to the temple too. They said, you know, I saw that worked out pretty good for dad. You know what Obed-Edom did? Unlike David, Obed-Edom said, hey guys, we're doing this as a family. They welcomed the ark right into their home. Guess who took care of it? It wasn't just Obed-Edom's job, but he showed his kids. How do you know he showed his kids? The Bible says, you train up a child in the way he should go, and they shall not depart from him. Guess what happened? Obed-Edom was a gatekeeper. Guess his kids worked in the temple. Their kids, guess what they did? They worked in the temple. And we see several hundred years later, when Samaria attacks, and things aren't going so well for Israel, and Obed-Edom's dead, and David's dead, and they're all dead. When they attacked and they began to take out all the stuff that was in the temple, the scripture says they took it out of Obed-Edom's house. His kid, hundreds of years later, were still serving the Lord because of a decision he made one day. The decision Obed-Edom made when he saw God strike someone dead, and he said, that's not going to stop me. I don't care what God does. He's smart. He's done this a few times. Whatever God wants to do, whatever God sees fit to do to Uzzah, whatever God sees fit to do to me, I want the presence of God in my home. I want the presence of God in my kids' lives. He said, nothing's going to stop me from being in the presence of God. And I believe that Obed-Edom's example with his family is what caused David to say, you know what, I may have messed up with Amnon, I may have messed up with Absalom. I may have messed up with Adonijah. But I'm going to do my very best to do what I can for Solomon. Sometimes, dads, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. And thankfully, most of the time our kids still love us through it. We may not be perfect, but where, you may not have made a perfect choice in the past, but it's where your heart's at now that counts. You may not have been the man back then, but if you say, God, going forward, I'm going to change this. Going forward, I'm going to follow your word. You know what? Going forward, I'm going to take some time to have some devotions with my children. Going forward, I'm going to make sure they're in the house of the Lord every chance they get. Going forward, I'm going to take them to camp. Going forward, I'm going to get them in Bible quizzes. Going forward, whatever it takes to have the presence of God in my house, I'm going to do it. And you know what God says? When you do that, when you have that heart to do whatever you can to be the dad and the father of your children that you need to be, God says, you the man. You may not have been back then, but now you the man. And I'm proud of you, son. That's what God said. God said, I'm proud of you. You see, David made a whole lot of mistakes. A whole lot of his kids died because he failed as a dad. But in the end, God still says, a man after my own heart. David, you did a lot of good stuff, son. You did a lot of good stuff. You really messed up in a couple areas of your life. But you always had the right heart. You always kept trying. You may not have always learned. We don't know what Jesse was like. We kind of do. We see Jesse was the guy who kicked his youngest son out in the field and forgot about him when they come asking for a king. Jesse wasn't the best example clearly to David. But David said, you know what, going forward, I'm going to change things in my family. And you know what he left behind? He left behind Solomon, who wrote the Proverbs, my son, my son, my son, my son. And God says, whatever you've done in the past doesn't matter, but starting right now, what kind of dad, what kind of spiritual leader will you be in your home? Let's stand. It can be really terrifying sometimes. I know the very first day I had, when everybody left, and it was just me and Courtney and Abigail, I said, whoa, what if she, me and Courtney both have to sleep at some point. We can't watch her all the time. How does this work? What happens if she needs me when I'm sleeping? I sleep hard. I don't know how she sleeps because she ain't had a kid before. I was scared. I was terrified. I said, God, help me out here. They've been doing this for thousands of years, so hopefully my chances are good. When we look at a man like Joshua, you're like, man, Joshua says in I think I may have forgot to write that one down, but I know how it goes. He said, if it doesn't seem good to you to serve the Lord, then you choose who you're going to serve. And he says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I said, I want to be like that. As for me and my house. And Joshua even, he says, he's telling the people, he says, be strong and of good courage. And I said, yeah. And you look back before that, though, and you see Joshua wasn't always a man of courage. In fact, God had to tell him a lot. God, if you could go ahead and throw up Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, God's telling Joshua, he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you, and I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give the people the possession of the land which I swore to their fathers, and I give them. Only be strong and courageous, and be careful to do according to all the law which Moses served and commanded you, blah, 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 blah. And he says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and be strong and courageous. 6 times God had to tell Joshua, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And finally, God drilled that into this scared little boy's head. Joshua was a real young man, and God said, hey, you're leading millions of people now, Joshua. Right? I was worried with one. And Joshua's standing there trembling in his socks because God has to keep telling him, you be strong and courageous. Hey, Joshua, I got a big job for you. I want you to be strong and courageous. You be strong and courageous. And Joshua's like, God, I'm a little scared. Just be strong and courageous. God doesn't pick the strongest. He just picks the most willing. God says, you know what? I know you don't think you should be the spiritual leader of your home. I know you're just a kid. But you know what? You've been in Bible quiz and you got a few scriptures and you'll be strong and courageous. I know your husband wants nothing to do with church. It's hard for you to even get time to go. But you know what? I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. I know your wife doesn't want you to go to church and she's threatening to leave you if you bring your family, if you try to bring your kids. But you know what? You just do what's right and you be strong and courageous. God says, you're not the man. But if you'll be strong and courageous, if you'll do what I tell you, if you'll trust me, you are the man. If you will do what I tell you, my word, I promise you, my promises are true. And if you'll do what he says, if you'll be strong, if you'll be courageous, if you'll desire the presence of God in your life more than anything else, he'll do for you what he did for Joshua, and he'll knock the walls down. Whatever you're fighting against in your life, God will knock those walls down for you. If you want your children to serve him, and you want your grandchildren to serve him, and you want your great-grandchildren to serve him, get the presence of God in your home. You know what? If the presence of God calls you somewhere else, pack your stuff up and go. But don't leave the presence of God. And don't allow it to leave your life. When you get a hold of it, keep it. And do like David said, I will hide your word in my heart. Because I don't want to sin against you. I invite you to this altar. And I ask you when you come, God, say, God, help me, Lord, to be strong. Help me to be courageous, Jesus. I gotta have your presence in my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy, God. I gotta have your presence.
A matchless love and beauty.